I'm starting a new job tomorrow. After 6 months of unemployment. Perhaps for you yourself, you find that you are starting something new, a new phase in your life. It could be a new job, a new season of unemployment. It could even be a medical treatment. I want to ask you this question. How is your prayer life? After all of the sermons on prayer and learning of our Lord's guidance on how to pray, how is your prayer life? In Eugene Peterson's work, Five Smooth Stones for Pastoral Work, he writes about the vertical relationship that we have with God in this quote. All vertical relationships with persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when there is any degree of intimacy at all, involve prayer. Now, this is all to say that your prayer life is important. It's indicative of your relationship with God. We are created in the image of God, and He is our maker. God knows our internals and how we should live. And you can see that in your passage from the Old Testament, from Psalm 139. To not have a prayer life is to cut ourselves off from a relationship with God, from our Father in heaven. And because our relationship with God impacts our relationships with others, that horizontal dimension, and ultimately how we live, all these relationships are impacted by our relationship with God. So it's essential how we pray. The passage today from Luke 11, it comes after Jesus has taught his disciples in how to pray. The passage provides us with encouragement to pursue an active prayer life, an encouragement to what Pastor Jim has echoed from Martin Luther, that prayer is the sweat of the soul. Now, normally we try to save the New Year's resolutions for working out for January, but right now it is that time to pray. Now, three loci to focus our attention on this morning are these three themes: the midnight of the soul, to remember the Father, and the greatest gift. The midnight of the soul, to remember the Father, and the greatest gift. Firstly, let's look at the midnight of the soul. In the passage in Luke 11, verses 5 to 8, we read Jesus' parable of the friend at midnight. In the parable, Jesus asks the audience to imagine a situation where you have to play host in that you have received a friend who has been traveling. And he visits you at an inconvenient time where it is both late and you have no more food to give. So you check your shelves, you know, the cockroaches, they scattered, you can't find any food in those shelves, right? And it's midnight and you're desperate. So you go to your neighbor, your neighbor friend across the hall, or your neighbor friend, to ask for some bread to feed your guest. Now, the neighbor, he gives you an excuse that it's late. His house is on lockdown. It would wake up his kids. Your friendship doesn't go that far as to get the man up to give you bread. According to the text, Jesus says, "Yet because of your shameless audacity, this neighbor will get up to give you what you need." Now, the thing, the shameless audacity, is that we don't know if that shameless audacity is the one that's asking or if it's the sleeping neighbor. So, and for us, when I was going over this text, I was trying to understand it more. Now, to put this parable into perspective, for our context today, because some things are difficult to understand. Like, if you were to come around my apartment, around my co-op at midnight, ringing my bell, asking for a White Castle Crave case, I would probably slam the door in your face. In the context of the time of Jesus, hospitality, it was an important characteristic. If you hosted someone, you were honor-bound to provide for their needs. Moreover, not just your household, the whole community around you, they were honor-bound to care for that traveler. You see evidence of this in Scripture in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Genesis 19, probably one of those passages you normally would not teach to our Sunday school. Genesis 19, Lot showed hospitality to two angels to ultimately protect them from the wicked city of Sodom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 tells us, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. The sleeping neighbor, you know, that neighbor across the hall that you try to avoid when you take out the trash, that sleeping neighbor, would have gotten a bad reputation if he denied the food. Another way to see this situation would be, as one commentator put it, it is midnight, your wife is about to go into labor, your car has broken down, and you have to get her to the hospital. You go to your friendly neighbor across the hallway to ask to drive you both to the hospital. The neighbor says it's late and gives some other lame excuses, yet he knows that he would get a bad rep. He would get a bad reputation, as you might make a TikTok video or post on social media. Out of fear of that, he gives you a lift anyway. All right. This is all to say that it is an inconvenient time. It's midnight, and you are in desperate need. If a friendly neighbor, quote unquote friendly neighbor, were begrudgingly help you out, how much more would God, our Father, be ready to provide for you? To give you what you need. How much more would God be ready to give you? Oftentimes for us, we have our midnights. Midnights of the soul where we realize our inadequacy. And we have a desperate need. We don't have anything to provide. There's nothing in us that we have. You know, everything that we have, the shelves, those roaches scattering around, it's all empty. We're poor. We're at a loss. It is at these times where we realize our need. We need someone who can help us. Now for you this morning, do you realize your needs? Are you living in a midnight where you believe that it's just an inconvenient time? An inconvenient time to communicate with God in prayer. Now, if you don't know God, if you don't know him, his name is holy, and that he will vindicate the holiness of his name. He has a reputation to uphold. He has both the power and the will to uphold his reputation. And as we're told in Scripture, everyone who calls on his name will be saved. Now that's the midnight of the soul. It highlights our need and that God is ready to give us what we need. Now the next item is to remember the Father. All throughout Luke 11 and the series on the Lord's Prayer, when we pray to God, we call him Father. Now, just an aside here, for some of us, when we consider the word Father, the word this nebulous word cloud appears in our heads, and it gets conjured up in our minds, and every possible negative adjective that we can imagine, every SAT negative word comes up in that cloud, and such words as unreliable, absent, drunk, abusive, those words might appear in your head when you think of that word father. Now, I'm sorry if you've gone through this and you've known earthly fathers that were harmful to betray your trust. I want to assure you that God as our Father is the most positive relationship that you can have. He is holy and perfect. Where our earthly fathers have failed, know that God, our Father, is able to provide comfort to you and comfort for the brokenhearted. God as our Father is not distant, and He is able to and ready to hear us because of the work of Jesus. In verses 11 to 13, it says that we wouldn't give our children a snake or a scorpion in place of a fish or egg. Even though we are sinful, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Now, every petition in the Lord's Prayer is to God, the Father, who is ready to hear us and to give us what we need. And just as defenseless as children are, and how much they need to be continually cared for, Jesus commands his disciples in verses 9 to 10 to ask, to seek, and to knock. The commands are continuous, and this means to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking. Now, I'm not going to keep on knocking at the podium. That gets annoying. To be persistent in prayer, in your communication with God, knowing that it is not in vain. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. With knowing God as our Father, this comes to us from His Word. I said that He is not a distant Father, and He takes the time to hear us. If you want to know more of His will, what type of Father He is, if you want to know more about this God, take the time to read His Word. Now, this brings us to the last item, and that is the greatest gift. At the end of verse 13, we read, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" No gift can surpass the gift of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is the deposit, the guarantee of the hope that we have in God. Romans 8, verse 15 tells us, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." And moreover, before Jesus went to the cross, before He went through that difficult journey to redeem us by His shed blood, He promised His disciples that He would send an advocate, a comforter, more than a blanket, a real comforter, to remain with us. And His life was one marked with prayer, of being in constant relationship with God. This is the same Jesus who prays, even when He was in agony. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He took the time to pray. He continued to pray, and He continues to pray to this day. So coming back to the original question this morning, how is your prayer life? After the series on prayer, my encouragement to you is to be persistent in prayer. We pray to our loving God who is ready to hear and has the power to give. during this fall season with all that hustle and bustle that we talked about, take the time to join a community group. Pray with a friend, or even take the time to journal your prayers. Take the time to read scripture in community. Pray for understanding. All these items, some of the things that we might forget is that when we pray, we could quickly just give it up. And one of the things about being able to pray is that it eventually brings you to praise. If you take the time to reflect, to be in community, to be reminded of those prayers, to see how God has brought you through a difficult time, that will bring you to praise. Well, anyway, pray for understanding. Maybe even grab a White Castle Crave case. You know, you could show up at my apartment and say, "Song, let's go pray. I won't slam the door in your face." And with that said, consider what a powerful and loving Father that we have. And know that you are not alone in your prayer life. Once again, your prayer life, it is indicative of your relationship with God and also how you see him. Lastly, this is just for those folks that are into AI. You know, don't program a ChatGPT bot to pray for you. Okay, don't do that. Right? Because prayer, it is that relationship. And prayer is for you to do. You can't automate that away, okay? So don't do that. It is for you to relate to God. So let's pray. Father, we might find that we have either too little feeling of need or see it as an inconvenience to come to you for hope. Revive us in our hearts and lackluster prayer lives. Let us continually ask to seek and to knock in prayer, to be persistent in our communication with you. Reconnect us with you and the love that you have for us in Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us by his blood. Thank you that you don't leave us as orphans, but you bring us into your family. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.